Hi, this is Mary Angela Prina, and welcome to Lush Left Media. On today's program, I have a favorite. I have Matt Lewis. He's with the Daily Beast, and he's written a book, and it is called Filthy Rich Politicians, The Swamp Creatures, Latte Liberals, and Ruling Class Elites Cashing In on America. And it's out. When is it out, Matt? Tomorrow?
It is out Tuesday, July 18th.
Awesome. Congratulations on the book. Yay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So,
it is like giving birth, I'm told.
Well, I've given birth twice, but I haven't written a book. So I can't say yes or no, but I would imagine. So is this your first book?
No. So I've sort of eased into this. I actually self-published a little primer back, almost like a pamphlet, about 15 or 20 years ago. Then I actually edited a book of quotes, which was like getting my feet wet. Mm-hmm. And then back in January of 2016, I put out a book called Too Dumb to Fail, which was really ahead of the curve. I was kind of predicting Trumpism, and it came out before Trump had won a single, you know, caucus or primary.
Oh, wow. So you were like never Trumper kind of, right?
I was. In fact, there were like a lot of famous never Trumpers today who hated me when I was a never Trumper, you know, in 2015, or because back then they were working for Trump.
I see. What, who? Like, who would these? Well, you don't have to say names, but.
I'll give you one example of someone that might surprise you. And this is not somebody who hated me. But believe it or not, there was a time, a brief time, when Bill Kristol was actually saying, hey, this Donald Trump might not be so bad. Let's
oh my
listen
God,
to him.
Really?
Yeah. 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 And he very
like
quickly.
I think of him as like one of the, like, if there was like a what? The parliament of never Trumpers.
Yes.
Like, wow. Or like David Frum is another one. All right. Well, now, let's talk about this book. So just from a cursory, I'm just looking, you know, here. I mean, so you're a center-right guy. I'm a center-left girl. Why should I read your book? What's it about?
Well, first of all, I'm biased, of course, but it's pretty much a bipartisan book. I mean, I expose the filthy rich Democrats and the filthy rich Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an area actually where there's a lot of agreement. I mean, Ted Cruz and AOC both want to ban stock trading, both want to ban the revolving door of lobbying. So this is an area where there's actually like, it kind of crosses the normal left-right spectrum. But essentially, the book is how the rich get elected and the elected get rich. And the reason that I think it matters to people, whether you're center right or center left, is like, I really want to conserve this country. I love this country. And I don't want to like radically overturn it with a, you know, fascist authoritarian regime or anything like that. I want to conserve this country. And part of that, I think, is right now there is a sense that the game is rigged and that our politicians are cashing in. And so I'm blowing the whistle on that and saying, like, we need to fix that to save this country.
Okay, well, there's this one line here in the description from Amazon. You know, admit, I told you, like, I looked at Amazon because it's not out yet. So I like this thing, Ivy League populist. Do you know how many times my husband and I are drinking coffee? Sometimes you're on the show, on Morning Joe. And I'm screaming at the TV with my coffee that I just subscribed to that I love. And I'm screaming because it's like, I'll be like, oh, my God, tell me these people like a Ted DeSantis or a name your idiot that, like, they went to jail. I'm like, listen, I'm getting my poli sci degree in just some regular college. Like, what is this? Are they either, like, making this up that they don't know what's happening or how bills become laws or they need to watch I'm Just a Bill? Are they like lying to you or what's that, or do they not know? Or how did they pass like law school at Yale? Explain that. Josh Hawley's another one.
Yeah. I don't know if I can explain it, but I will tell you, first of all,
I'm just saying out loud, like, I'm frustrated. It's very upsetting. I hate it so much. I'm like, there's just no way DeSantis doesn't know what's going on. Or doesn't know, like, basic things in our Constitution or how bills become laws. I can't handle it, Matt. It makes me insane.
I don't blame you. So I'm a graduate of Shepherd College. It's now called Shepherd University, but it was Shepherd College in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. It's not. It sounds like a Christian school. It's not. It's spelled different. It's like the most liberal, progressive part of West Virginia you can imagine. But we call it the Harvard on the Potomac. But it's a small school, and I'm literally the most famous person who ever went there. And that gives you. That's not bragging. That's giving you an idea of how different it is from.
Right.
But I do have I have a chapter in the book that is called Ivy League Populists. And it's literally about people like Josh Hawley and Ron DeSantis and Ted Cruz and J.D. Vance. All of these guys who are posing as regular working class people who are super rich and, you know, super elite. I mean, Ted Cruz's wife, Heidi, she's an executive at Goldman Sachs. They all went to Ivy colleges, and then they all play rural populists on TV.
You mean these people aren't part of the lunch bucket crowd? I can't stand it. I fucking hate it. I hate it with a passion. Stop lying.
It's so ironic, It's ironic because, you know, I literally live in West Virginia. My dad was a prison guard in Hagerstown, Maryland for 30 years.
Wow.
And yet they will cast me as an elite while they live in their mansions in D.C.
Wait, I don't really know West Virginia that well. So you live, what are big areas in West? Help me.
So,
what are big areas?
I live in the eastern panhandle of West Virginia. So I live near Harper's Ferry. So it's very close to Maryland and Virginia. I could be in Virginia or Maryland in 5 minutes probably
How long does it take you to get to DC?
About an hour and 15 minutes without major traffic.
Okay. All right.
So it's kind of the perfect place to be.
I was just going to say, but I noticed that some, like, alt-right weirdos, no, not you, obviously, but, like, Tim Pool, who's that one, Cassandra Fairbanks.
But there's also, I think Amanda Carpenter also lives out here.
Oh, okay.
So this
there
is, like,
go.
Yeah, there's an old country song, I don't know if you've heard it, called Lookinbach, Texas, and it's Willie and Waylon. And see, you know, Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings were outlaws, and they didn't like the suits in Nashville. And so they moved to Texas and started doing their own kind of outlaw country thing.
Okay.
And the song Lookinbach, Texas is all about leaving, like, Austin even and going even more. And that's kind of what we've done. Like, So it's kind of cool.
I have relatives in Maryland, and he's an attorney in D.C., and it's expensive, man. I mean, you know, so I can see, like, people kind of – and look, I lived in New York City forever, for, like, 30 years, and we are now in Jersey, which is not cheaper. It's just – you know what I mean? When you buy a house and property taxes, but – one of the most rural, you can't even call, Jersey's so small, you can't really call it rural, but one of the more rural areas of Jersey, and a ton of people from the city are moving to this county.
Oh yeah. I think COVID opened up the floodgates too of people who I could do Morning Joe from West Virginia. Like it used to be. It used to be I would literally have to go to the studio. Now I'm wearing my pajama bottoms.
Yeah, I love that. And listen, when COVID was going on, I was just not used to him being here. my husband, and he's in finance. I wasn't used to him being home. I mean, he works like 14-hour days, you know, whatever. And now it's weird when he has to go in. It's like very like wait, you have to go in? Like, it's strange because he works from home now. So that COVID definitely changed that. But I have a question. Okay, so your book's coming out, and yes, I think money in politics is absolutely an issue. I'm sure you get into like Citizens United, which was, by the way, your old party loves that. So what are your thoughts on that? I'm busting your chops.
No, I don't get into that much. And I don't get into like campaign finance reform really. This is not about, and I think it's, well, partly because a lot of other people have written about that very eloquently. This is exclusively about politicians' personal money. So whether they're whether they're using their personal money to get elected, or whether they're getting elected and then using their position to, you know, bet on the stock market using inside info, or parlay that into a better job. Or there's even one that sounds pretty innocuous or harmless, but it's book deals. Ron DeSantis literally became a millionaire about 2 weeks ago because of a book deal. That's the only he was like essentially broke until then.
Well, okay, just I wanted to take 5 minutes with you about Ron DeSantis, but before that, to me, an example of what you're talking about with your book would be like a Lauren Boebert. Like, her husband, who she's now divorcing, was getting like these contracts and stuff all of a sudden. You know what I mean? Like, and they, once she got elected, isn't Marjorie Taylor Greene like profiting off of, like, I think of people like that, that like they get in there and then all of a sudden they're like doing these appearances.
Yeah. Marjorie Taylor Greene is actually from a pretty rich family. Her dad was like a big, I think, contractor. Contractor or something like that. And she kind of worked for him. And so even though she casts herself as this like populist, I mean, she's worth, you know, millions, like at least $5 million, which is not a lot for politicians, but she's a millionaire. But I will tell you, she did profit off of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And it's very ironic because she went on Twitter and condemned our support of Ukraine and talked about how people were going to profit off of it. And then she did too. And she claims she didn't know. She claims that her broker was in a blind trust or something. And like, who knows? But essentially right before, you know, the invasion, I guess she bought, I don't know, Lockheed Martin or something like that. That went up as soon as Russia invaded Ukraine. So, interesting.
I thought she was going
to
go.
Yeah, and it's impossible to know, like, if she did it on purpose or not. But it looks, it's the kind of thing that looks sketchy.
Well, you know, her hero Trump, you know, about the drain the swamp. This sounds pretty swampy to me. So,
it is swampy. That's the thing too. That's in the subtitle, right? The swamp creatures.
Well, I'm really excited. I'm gonna get this, and I'm excited. Now, before we go, Matt, my husband and I have a place in Florida. My mom, who passed away, she lived in Florida for 20 years. Like, I have this long tie to Florida. And, you know, like, I call Florida, like, it's Jersey with palm trees, really. It's, you know, there's kind of no difference. So it's all New York, New Jersey people that went down there.
Yeah.
I just can't explain this any better. So DeSantis is destroyed it. I keep calling people like him. They're like the worst business people. He's horrible. Look at the insurance stuff down there. Like, people can't even get insurance now. It's just a wreck. All right. But let's talk about the presidential thing. I have been a part of, like, what I call DeSantis National Review Twitter for, like, 2.5 years. And it's like, since COVID, because my mom was down there, right? And we had a place down there, et cetera. And they the first time I'd even heard of Twitter Spaces was, like, from them. They all love Twitter Spaces. And that Jeremy Redford guy, he works for DeSantis now. He is abusive and would yell at me. They would always invite me on panel. And he would, like, yell at me. Anyway, what are you thinking? Where are we at with – all right, here's my question. how many contests, how many states till he's done for the primary?
Good question.
You know it's going to be like one or two. I mean, like, you, it's over. It's basically, I didn't say it's over, boys. It's over. He's a terrible
person. Yeah, I mean, I wrote a piece for the Daily Beast advising Ron DeSantis not to run. Like,
they
I
do?
Literally wrote a piece. Yeah, I literally wrote a piece saying, like, don't do, like, this isn't going to happen. It's not going to work. I don't know. He could get lucky and win a state early on, like Iowa,
no
maybe,
way.
Because of the evangelical thing.
And
then that keeps him.
Politics. Have you seen his retail politics prowess? He's horrible.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Look, I think Tim Scott probably has a better chance of winning Iowa, right? If I were betting, I think I'd bet on Tim Scott to win Iowa. But I'm just saying, it is possible that DeSantis, just based on the, you know, whatever, the momentum he had going, you know, 6 months ago, will somehow, like, win an early state, and that will that'll give him hope.
I call the campaign, his campaign, number one, he went to the right of Donald Trump, first off. Number two, it's like he did with this. I saw it for 3 years. He would get Twitter trolls and, like, hire them. I saw it from my own eyes and dealing with them on those Twitter spaces I'm telling you about. And I guess some of them are working for his campaign. And they're like, these are people that are his campaign. Remember, did you see the ad about, like, and it's gross?
That, oh, yeah.
Like, going after the LGBTQ. It's disgusting. And there were literal HN memes in it. Like, for real. Like, I'm not being funny.
Yeah,
I'm not exaggerating.
I don't even understand it. Like, okay, there's a moral problem I have with it, obviously. But I don't even understand it strategically.
There's
like,
no
just
strategy.
Strategically speaking,
none.
It does not make sense to do what they're doing. I don't even get it. And to be open-minded and like, well, maybe they're seeing something I'm not, but clearly they're not, because it's not working, and it shouldn't. It's a weird, bizarre strategy.
I mean, and also just like, listen, my advice, if any mega donors like in their car and they stumble on this somehow, I doubt it, but let's just go there. Listen, maybe vet. You know, when I first started this podcast, I interviewed candidates. So I learned how to, like, I had to do a lot of vetting before I would, you know, bring them on. And that was some of the best education as far as, like, interviewing and just vetting things, right? Just vet a candidate, mega donors, before you, like, throw all this cash. He doesn't know how to talk. Like, didn't you notice that? That he's, like, awkward? You didn't notice that?
Well, I am sympathetic to – I think that we were – and I'll throw myself in here now. Like, I think we were kind of hoping against hope that somebody would be able to replace Trump. And we knew that that person would not be great. They were not – you know, we're not going to get Reagan. Reagan's not coming back. That's a president that I like. And the person, whoever that person is who replaces Trump, is not going to be great. But, and I think we were like really hoping that it would be DeSantis, we were sort of attributing to him, like, well, he's doing great and he won in Florida. Maybe he has a charisma we're not seeing. And he's gonna magically turn it on. And then B, I think we were hoping, like, he's not as evil or crazy as he acts. And maybe he has to pretend he is a little bit to compete with Trump, but it has to be an act. You know what I mean? And like, I would say both of those things have not panned out for us. Like, A, he really is socially awkward and unlikable and not charismatic. And B,
and he's going to the right. He's not going to be able to win those purple districts or states. It's just a fact. You can't go to the right when you look at the purple districts, like, you know, Maricopa County or Wisconsin or, you know, Pennsylvania or Michigan. And in every election cycle, whenever these cultural things come up for review, whether it's an election or a special thing or a Supreme Court seat in Wisconsin, nobody wants this stuff. I mean, the majority. So why are you going even to the right of that? Their strategy is like it's 8chan memes.
It's horrible.
It's horrible.
But you just explained, you've explained why it wouldn't work in a general election, which I agree with. But it doesn't even work in a primary. It's not even working among Republicans.
No. I this is why I love political science, because there's going to be so much to study. But here's my final question to you, Matt Lewis. Well, two. Are you still a registered Republican? I know you're going to tell me yes, and I'm going to cry. Is it true?
Yes. I am. And what's funny is that...
Are you hanging on to something? Like, what's happening? Like, I'll go down to take you out to lunch. What's going on? Are you hoping for your old party back? Are you thinking that... What? Where are we at with that?
So, like, have you ever seen the movie Office Space? Do you remember that movie?
Maybe. Yes, I guess. I think.
So, like, in the movie, there's a character named... His name's Michael Bolton. And he's pissed off because, there's the kind of lame smooth jazz singer or jazz musician, Michael Bolton.
Yeah.
And his friends say, like, well, why don't you just change your name or go by something else? And he says,
right.
Why should I change? He's the one who sucks.
Okay. That makes sense to me. So, all right. What you just said, I forgive you. Now I love you again. That makes perfect sense.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Now my next question is, why are you still a Republican? Oh, how many elections? I ask this all the time to my husband, probably every day, four times a day. How many election cycles is it going to take for your party to, like, get with the program that this isn't working? Trumpism, Bannonism, Breitbartism, whatever you want to call it, it's not working. How many? Is it going to be, like, the next two, the next what? How many election cycles?
Are you counting, like, midterms as
this
election
is what
cycles?
They realize
or
that this going, that being this insane isn't, it doesn't even if you're the most cynical, it's not good for them on paper. It's not good. It doesn't win elections. So how many elections?
So my friend Bill Scheer says that you have to lose three presidential elections before a party will have a come to Jesus moment.
Well, you would think like an autopsy would be in order, like a triage would be in order now, but I don't know.
Well, the mistake was that Trump kind of accidentally won in 2016, even though he lost the popular vote.
Right, correct.
He won in 2016, and I think that basically cemented in this sense that he's magical, and it would probably now take two more presidential losses.
Probably.
It sounds insane, but I think
I think he's right. I think Bill Scheer is right, because, like, I kept saying this is like a virus that has to, like, go through your system or something. I don't know another way to put it. And
run its course.
You have to learn your lessons the hard way, like a lot of us do with anything. I guess, like, an entire political apparatus, which, by the way, Ronna McDaniel, head of RNC, did you see that article about the Michigan Republican Party has, like, $80,000?
Yeah, and you know what? Arizona's even worse. They had, like, $50,000.
I'm a committee person here in New Jersey, my Democratic Party. So, we just put in all new chairs, all new the whole bit. And to have $80,000 for your entire state is unbelievable. But that person, I forget her name, she used to go on Bannon, like, all the time for, like, 2 years.
Yep.
I always say, you know how Rick Wilson has that saying, everything that Trump touches dies? My thing is, anywhere there's failure, I Bannon is around with the Republicans.
I like it.
Somehow Bannon was, like, touched it somewhere. I promise you. Anyway,
no
all right.
Doubt.
Well, congratulations on the book, Matt.
Thank you.
Go back and enjoy your black coffee that you told me about that you like to drink. That's gross, but enjoy.
You get used to it after 2 or 3 years.
It starts to go down easy. Does it give you like acid reflux though, Matt?
No, luckily I'm low stress, but I think it could if you were like, you know, if you had an issue, if you were stressed out or something, it probably could have a negative reaction to it. But I do it to get hepped up. I get up and I drink like a ton of coffee and then write things on the internet.
Do you have a particular brand?
There's a little place here. It's called Good. Joan and Joe's in West. I go local, I go local and we buy their, grind it up ourselves, all that. We're very, very farm to table here.
I'm looking it up. Joan and Joe. Is it like a super cute place that I'm going to love when I look at the picture?
Joan and Joe's.
I'm looking right now. Oh, my God. I love it already. I love it. Wait, when I come down to take you to, like, yell at you about being a Republican, I'm going to take you to Joan and Joe's.
Let's do it. Okay? You should come. It's awesome. Harper's Ferry, we're close to Antietam. Shepherdstown is a college town, which is awesome. There's a lot of history.
Oh, my God, I love this place. I'm taking you to Joan. We're going there, and I'm going to try to talk you out of being joking. I'm kidding.
Maybe I'll permit some cashew milk or something. Something like that, maybe.
No, I'm taking you there. This place looks awesome.
Oat milk.
It's super cute. All right, you're the best. Congratulations on the book, and I will hit you up about what I about top political science things. How about that? And I just agree. Again, everybody, go to you write for Daily Beast a lot. I mean, like what, 3-4 times a week?
Yes, 3 columns a week on average. It is a lot. It's a lot. Yeah, you have to have a lot of opinions to. To put
and
3 things out a week.
And when on Morning Joe, when I'm not, like, screaming at some, not you, but they love to bring on, I love them. Look, it's my favorite political show. But, when they try to, it's like, are they just trying to make a horse race hat? Not just them in particular, but is there a horse race that's, like, trying to happen here on the Republican?
No, I would just say the media in general. Like when I used to be for 4 or 5 years, I was a CNN commentator and like a paid exclusive to CNN. And like every day you could never say, like, there'd be like a development, you could never say like, well, to be honest with you, John, I don't think this is that big of a deal. You can't say that. Like every day we have to justify why are we watching? And that's because it must be the most important story in the world. So,
here's my favorite line, and I keep saying to my husband, these people, let me just say, they keep saying, well, it's still early, like with the DeSantis thing, and I keep saying, either these people are lying, they want a horse race, or they have an issue with calendars. We're already almost in August.
The other thing is none of us want to look really stupid. If there's like a 1% chance DeSantis comes back and wins the nomination, and then they've got video of us saying like, I'll eat my shoe if Ron DeSantis wins.
Thank you. That helps me feel less crazy. Thank you for that.
This is all,
that because I'm like, do they not have calendars? Even the free ones you get at an insurance company lying around. Like we're almost in August. How much? Well, it's still early. No, it isn't. What? I can't take it. All right, you're the best. Promise you'll come back on, all right?
Absolutely.
All right, you're the best.
Absolutely.
Take care. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.